Welcome on this blessed Sabbath. On November 16, 2024, this is our review section of our chapter 82 entitled Why We Is Thou, part 3 of our lesson 421. Can everyone see the presentation in the room, dear ones?
Yes.
Welcome, dear Brother Day. Sabbath blessing to you. We are going to ask you to share our Tanita theme song. It's a hymn entitled, I'd Rather Have Jesus, hymn 327.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Day. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to ask any one of the precious tiny ones to be able to open the review section of their study with prayer. May you mute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor do all thy work, and the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord. May we take the peace and protect the Sabbath and not in the Sabbath. Jesus, we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And dear Lord, please touch our little ones that are under the weather as well of all our remnant family that may be under the weather as well. Give them rest today that he may be able to, and them can be able to enjoy the rest day, Father Jesus. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Well, dear ones, this is the time that we would like to hear all the precious little blessings. The little one has been to their parents, their household, or any place where they have shed their light. Many hands make little works. So we're going to hand it to our dear remnant family to share.
God bless everyone. For mothers, little helpers, mommies and daddies, little blessings, would like to highlight both Haley and Emma. Both are learning by God's grace to work together to be able to carry out the things that they are tasked with daily. And this is just not in the household, but also in the school environments that they are. They're very much helpful there and are a blessing to their teachers and to the staff. And so I want to give God thanks for moving them to be able to let their little light so shine. They may not be able to recognize that the small things that they're assisting with may be a big help to those that are around them. And also being an example to the other little ones that are around them as well, and wanting them to be able to pick up little works. As it said there, many hands make light work. So may God be praised for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If we have any other family that would like to share, even though we have the little ones, we also have our older children. And I would like to really praise God for our dear brother Josh that has taken on the role to help his grandmother in this very, very difficult time. And no matter what he's asked for, he's also joyful to be able to help and extend and do everything that is possible. If it was medical or whatever it is that he's asked, I'm just thankful that the Lord had gave us extra hand with my son. By God's grace, may he continue to do as much as he can to be able to help wherever it is that he's called for. And I would like to highlight our dear brother Josh. Sabbath blessing, dear Sister Christina and family coming in. So it's story time for our review of our lesson, our first lesson from a chapter entitled Condemned by Pilate, and we are going to ask our dear brother to be able to share.
The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Luke, chapter 23, and Matthew 27. Said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you and found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. This is Pilate speaking. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Next slide, please. When the Jews returned from Herod, bringing the Savior again to Pilate, he was very much displeased and asked what they would have him do. He reminded them that he had examined Jesus and had found no fault in him. He told them that they had brought complaints against him, but that they had not been able to prove a single charge. As stated in the preceding chapter, they had taken him to Herod, who was a Jew like themselves, and he had found in him nothing worthy of death. But to pacify the accusers, Pilate said, I will therefore chastise him or whip him and release him. Luke 23:16. Here, Pilate showed his weakness. He had acknowledged that Christ was innocent. Then why should he punish him? It was a compromise with Rome. Next slide, please. The Jews never forgot this throughout all the trial. They had intimidated the Roman governor and now pressed their advantage until they secured the condemnation of Jesus. The multitude clamored more loudly for the life of the prisoner. While Pilate was hesitating as to what he should do, there was brought to him a letter from his wife, which read, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Matthew 27:19. Pilate turned pale at this message, but the mob became more urgent as they saw his indecision. This is taken from the story of Jesus, pages 133 and 134.
Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part two of this new chapter. This is chapter 22, entitled Condemned by Pilate, in our tiny thought lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place November the 23rd. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. And we are going to hand it back to our dear brother to review the questions.
All right, in review, what was Pilate's reaction when the Jews returned with Jesus?
The answer to number one is that he, Pilate, was very much displeased.
He was not happy. He thought, oh man, I got rid of this case and I'll have to make a decision. But when they brought him back, he knew he had to make it. What was Pilate's and Herod's conclusion about Jesus?
The answer to number two is they had found him nothing worthy of death.
That's right. They tried him, and they found that he had committed no crime, and therefore he was not worthy of death. Apparently they handed out the death sentence in those days a little bit faster, easier than they do now. All right, what did Pilate's wife say in her letter because of her dream?
The answer to number three is, have thou nothing to do with that just man?
Don't do it, Pilate, don't do it. I saw a picture. A painting, I guess it was, of Pilate standing before a balcony with Jesus beside him, stripped to the waist, his hands tied behind him. And Pilate pointed to him and says, what shall I do? And on the right side, it showed his wife. Turning away, sad. She had warned him not to do anything, but he went ahead and did it. We may find out in another later lesson what was the result. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And that will happen to us as well when we try our best. And the only thing we can do is just pray and cry for them. Welcome once more to all the dear brethren. This is the time for Tiny Tots and parents and guests to learn the precious lesson of our review of creation in nature in our topic, Moments of the Bible. And we are going to hand it to our dear brother to be able to share.
Okay, God blesses everyone.
Sad blessings, everyone. If you there's today's reading concerning the mammals of the Bible, we'll be reviewing in the lesson, but we'll be learning through the scriptures as before the reading of the animal. Our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book Matthew chapter 7 and from lesson 4, a sermon, verses 24 to 25 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these saying of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." We'll be viewing in lesson 5, the deer or body, who will be seeing in the scripture reading before that lesson. And the memory verse is Psalm 75:10. All the horns of the wicked also will cut off, but the horn of the righteous shall be exalted. And the character quality of the whole story is self-control versus self-indulgence. Self-control is control of one's emotions, it is desires or actions by one's own will, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Remember these words, they, a house built on a rock, were not easy of access, and their location appeared less inviting than the grassy plain. But they were put upon the rock, and wind and flood and tempest beat upon them in vain. We built on Christ by obeying his word. As we obey, we learn self-control. In the picture, you see the wise man's house built on the rock and the foolish man's house, which is upon the sand below. Oh, King washed away. And here's building on a rock. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Matthew 7:24-25. Jesus ended his teaching on the mount with an illustration that presented with startling vividness the importance of putting in practice the words he had spoken. Among the crowds that thronged about the Savior were many who had spent their lives about the Sea of Galilee. As they sat upon the hillside listening to the words of Christ, they could see valleys and ravines through which the mountain streams found their way to the sea. In summer, these streams often wholly disappeared in only a dry and dusty channel. But when the wintry storms burst upon the hills, the rivers became fierce, raging torrents, at times overspreading the valleys and bearing everything away on their resistless flood. Often then, the hovels reared by the peasants on the grassy plain, utterly beyond the reach of danger, were swept away. But high upon the hills were houses built upon the rock. In some parts of the land were dwellings built wholly of rock, and many of them had withstood the tempest of 1,000 years. These houses were reared with toil and difficulty, were not easy of access, and their location appeared less inviting than the grassy plain. But they were founded upon the rock, and wind and flood and tempest beat upon them in vain. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, pages 147-148. We build on Christ by obeying his word. As we obey, we learn self-control. And below, we see a picture of a doe and her fawn. And here, in these other pictures, we see the male mule deer's antlers. We also see below that picture of a mule deer buck. And next, we see a white-tailed deer or buck. And above that one, white-tailed deer's antlers. And says above a picture of this fellow's head, why is Jesus called the branch? Well, Jeremiah chapter 23 verses 5 and 6 this tells how. Well, tells why. Says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute the judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. In these pictures, as we see how the annual antler cycle, of how long deer's antlers grow. It says in the as on the top left corner, during September, antler mineralization is completed. The blood supply is shut off and the dried velvet is shed. Velvet shedding is usually completed within about 24 hours. On the top right corner says, as antlers are shed in late February through March in Mississippi, new antler growth resumes about 3 weeks after antlers drop on a scab that has formed over the pedicles. It's a part of the deer's head that is. On the bottom left corner says, is during the period of rapid growth in June and July, beam length can increase by as much as 2 inches per week for older bucks. As antlers approach their definitive shape, the outermost spongy bone is mineralized into a compact bone, while the antler center develops into coarse, narrow spaces. And finally, on the right side, just above these two pictures of this deer with no antlers growing yet, as of yet, it says a grown antler is covering in velvet and grows from the tip. Antler growth is slow during April and May and becomes more rapid during June to July, especially in older bucks. Here in their mind, you can do while you remember the lesson. One, as you work together as a family, let your choice mind of your lesson. Two, build a rock garden, a rock foundation for a root cellar, or retaining wall, and be reminded of your lesson. Be as swift as the rose upon the mountains, 1 Chronicles 12:8, in doing what your parents ask you to do. Three, when it's time to cut your fingernails to your fingernails, remember that antlers grow out of the skin, just like fingernails do out of fingers. When you cut your toenails, think about what the deer's toes, which are enclosed inside a covering called a hoof. And on the right are in reinforced activities you can do to help you remember the lesson. One, look for a deer. Use your guide to identify the breed, if there are any near where you live. Two, have father or mother or anyone else watching you, even if they have a car, drive 40 miles or 64 kilometers per hour in his or her car and see how fast a white-tailed deer can run. One can even go carpool if they don't have a car, that is, too. Three, especially notice a deer's ears as you observe them. The way they move around to catch the slightest sounds can remind us of the text, incline thine ear unto my sayings, Proverbs 4:20. Four, find storm pictures and pictures of rocks upon your bulletin board if you have one. Five, practice drawing deer with antlers. And six, say a memory verse. And the remarkable parent food, you'll have to read Child Guidance, page 91 to 96, about self-control. Well, since the whole page can't fit through these squares. But it says, as in some of these sentences from those pages, the first lesson to be taught them or children is self-control. For no undisciplined, headstrong person can hope for success in the world or reward in the next. It is the various cruelty to allow wrong habits to be developed, to give the law into the hands of the child and let him or her rule. If parents would take up their God-given work and would teach self-restraint, self-control to their children, both by precept and example, they would find they would be learning precious lessons in the school of Christ. Never should we lose control of ourselves. Let us ever keep before us the perfect path. Child Guidance, pages 91, 94, 95. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. In nature, rocks teach us. The rocks in your area and all over the earth teach us about the age of the earth, about 6,000 years, and about many other earth things that happened before the flood. If you persevere in studying rocks and minerals, you will learn many wonderful things about God, the Rock of Ages. And here below, even though none of the books I have talk about a legend, and we found some info from other from another place is that talks about a legend and all the benefits of it is. Below says the types of lichens. Broadly speaking, there are three types of lichens. They are distinguished by the type of structure the fungi produce. Crustos, those folios, and fruticos. These three main types of structures called thallus as combine and morph to produce the huge variety of lichens found all over the world. Lichens consist of at least two types of organisms living symbiotically. A structural fungus that encapsulates either a green alga or a blue or green cyanobacterium or both. It is now thought that a fourth organism, a type of yeast, may play a crucial role in the formation of some species. And below the picture of a rock or lichen taken by Avis, a Reverend the Cecilers, is a warning about both them. Lichens are some of the most mysterious organisms on the planet, but relatively few lichens have been described as poisonous by scientists. It is important to keep in mind that the vast majority of lichens are inedible. Moreover, our understanding of these organisms is evolving all the time. New species are being identified almost every year, and many lichens can only be properly distinguished from each other with the help of a microscope and chemical testing. With this in mind, take proper care when identifying lichen species. Do not eat anything you cannot identify with 100% certainty, and always seek an expert opinion first. In nature, liquid water. Water is a liquid which comes as rain, dew, and condensation. Water is found in creeks, brooks, streams, rivers, ponds, lakes, seas, and oceans. God came as a baby, grew as a child, and became a man. He was often found beside the lake or sea, teaching things he had learned in his childhood. Water covers about 3/4 of the surface of the earth. Water is colorless, odorless, tasteless. Life cannot exist in our world without water. None of us would be alive without the water of life, Jesus Christ. Water is most unusual. So the boy Jesus was almost unusual. He was always patient, always practical. His integrity was always unselfish, was always courteous and truthful. You can be like him. we see these two pictures also in the surface of that natural pool. It can either be a large pond or a lake. The grace of God was upon Jesus. The grace of God is like living water in the soul. It keeps the mind washed clean. Nature, trunk and branches. The trunk and branches help to give the tree shape. The trunk supports the branches. Some tree trunks are straight, some are twisted, some rise up from the ground, and others divide in branches close to the ground. The trunks of most needle-leaf trees usually grow straight up to the tip of the tree. The branches grow out from the trunk, and usually they are shorter at the top, making a spiral-like shape. This shape can remind us of an arrow pointing up. Nature is to point upward to God, and the Sabbath is a good day to study. Some trees have the appearance of more than one trunk because they divide so close to the ground. Examples of this are black willows and white poplars. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden had two trunks. By the river upon a bank thereof, on this side and on that side shall grow all trees. These for me, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his month. Because their waters, they're issued new out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for me, and the leaf thereof for us. Ezekiel 47:12. Here we have the picture of the Oregon Ona Beach seacoast view with tree log series. Next we have those pictures from Brother Joel of those three trees in fall colors, the ash tree, the oak trees, and the aspen trees. And all of them have one thing in common. They're all broadleaf trees. And this dream tells us all about them. Broadleaf trees are found everywhere in the world. They have ashes, elms, maples, oaks, walnuts, willows, mahogany, mangroves, and many others. Besides having broad, flat leaves, broadleaf trees of temperate regions are deciduous. What does that mean? They lose their leaves in the autumn. Their leaves change colors from green to bright red, yellow, or orange, and then they fall to the ground. In the springtime, new leaves grow. There are a few kinds of broadleaf trees in temperate regions that do not lose their leaves in the autumn. Example of this are some rare varieties of holly trees and live oaks. Some tropical broadleaf trees are deciduous, but most are evergreen. The Bible speaks about a man being like a tree in Psalm 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Adam was created to be like an evergreen. In God's order, he planted trees which would provide people with food, wood, shelter, and much more. Throughout his history, people have used wood for making tools, constructing boats, buildings, and for fuel. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Proverbs 26:20. The living tree is especially valuable to men. Next we have these pictures of these stratus cumulus clouds taken from dear sister Christina. And the info on the left tells why their colors change when the sun is set. The same physics of light interacting with molecules that make the sky blue during the day can make clouds pinkish at sunset. It all comes down to scattering. As white sunlight enters the atmosphere, shorter wavelength violet and blue colors are preferentially scattered in all directions by nitrogen and oxygen gases. This relay a scattering leaf sunlight depleted in blues taking on a more yellowish or reddish cast. During sunrise or sunset, the sun's light passes through more atmosphere to reach your eyes. This enhances the selective scatter of blues and violets, leaving mostly longer wavelength red and orange hues. Clouds in the vicinity reflect this strong filter of red and sunlight, causing them to take on brilliant pink, orange, and red hues. The same process creates vivid red sunsets and the warm alpenglow effect on mountains. Info taken from www.33rdsquare.com/ why do clouds turn pink? A meteorologist guides to red in skies. And below the picture says, a stratus cloud looks like a smooth, even sheet. There are clouds that drizzle off and falls from. The way that the gray stratus clouds cover the whole sky reminds us that sometimes the powers of darkness gather about the soul and shut Jesus from our sight. And at times, you can only wait in sorrow and amazement until a cloud passes over. These seasons are sometimes terrible, but to wait patiently and hope when clouds envelop us and all is dark requires faith and submission, which causes our will to be swallowed up in the will of God. So, First Testimonies, pages 309-310. And next is a picture of this, the crescent moon. And this info explains how it works. Nature, the moon's orbits and phases. The day after a new moon, a thin slice of light or crescent appears along the moon's eastern side. Every day, more and more of the moon's sunlit side can be seen. After about 7 days, the moon looks like a light half circle. This phase is called its first quarter. This phase is of the moon in which its reflection of light is increasing reminds us of how those in the end will increase in light. See Proverbs 4:18. Continue our reference reading for the mammals of the Bible of our lesson review, taken from Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing, in chapter 2, the Beatitudes, part 4, continue. And it fell not, but was found upon a rock, Matthew 7:25. The people had been deeply moved by the words of Christ. The divine beauty of the principles of truth attracted them, and Christ's solemn warnings had come to them as the voice of the heart-searching God. His words had struck at the very root of the former ideas and opinions. To obey his teaching will require a change in all their habits of thoughts and action. It will bring them into collision with religious teachers, for it would involve the overthrow of the whole structure which, for generations, the rabbis had been rearing. Therefore, while the hearts of the people responded to his words, few were ready to accept them as the guide of life. Mount of Blessing, page 147, paragraph 1. Jesus ended his teaching on the Mount with an illustration that presented with startling vividness the importance of putting in practice the words he had spoken. Among the crowds that thronged about the Savior were many who had spent their lives about the Sea of Galilee. As they sat upon the hillside, by listening to the words of Christ, they see valleys and ravines through which the mountain streams found their way to the sea. In summer, these streams often wholly disappear, leaving only a dry and dusty channel. But when the wintry storms burst upon the hills and rivers became fierce, raging torrents, at times overspreading the valleys and bearing everything away under a resistless flood. Often then the hovels reared by the peasants on the grassy plain apparently beyond the reach of danger, were swept away. But high upon the hills were houses built upon the rock. In some parts of the land were dwellings built wholly of rock, and many of them have withstood the tempest of 1,000 years. These houses were reared with toil and difficulty. They were not easy of access, and their location appeared less inviting than the grassy plain. But they were founded upon the rock, and wind and flood and tempest beat upon them in vain. Mount of Blessings, page 247, paragraph 2. Like the builders of these houses on the rock, said Jesus, is he who shall receive the words that I have spoken to you and make them the foundation of his character and life. Centuries before the prophet Isaiah had written, the word of our God shall stand forever, Isaiah 48. And Peter, long after the Sermon on the Mount was given, quoting these words of Isaiah, added, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter 1:25. The word of God is the only steadfast thing our world knows. It is the sure foundation, heaven and earth shall pass away, said Jesus, but my word shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. Mount Blessing, pages 148, paragraph 1. We build on Christ by obeying his word. It is not he who merely enjoys righteousness that is righteous, but he who does righteousness. Holiness is not rapture. It is the result of surrendering all to God. It is doing the will of our Heavenly Father. When the children of God were encamped on the borders of the Promised Land, it was not enough for them to have a knowledge of Canaan or to sing the songs of Canaan. This alone would not bring them into possession of the vineyards and all groves of goodly lands. They could make it theirs in truth only by occupation, by complying with the conditions, by exercising living faith in God, by appropriating his promises to themselves while they obey his instruction. Blessing, page 149, paragraph 1. And here are three bonus questions. And review. Question one is, when God's words are obeyed, what is a man likened unto? The answer is in Matthew 7:24. Number two is, where has he built his house? The answer is that answer too is in Matthew 7:24, and also thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, pages 148-149. And three, what happens when the storms come? The answer is in Matthew 7:25. Now I'll turn the mic back to Mom.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. And remember, little ones, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me go to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Our opening song is a hymn entitled, He Lives. If you have the book, it's number 251. If you would like to join in us to sing the hymn here once, you may unmute your mic to do so. Master, our risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever a man may say. I see his hands of mercy, I hear his voice of shame. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his love and care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. We are going to ask any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests that would like to open our family review the prayer. May you mute your mic to do so, dear ones.
I'll go ahead and pray for Haley, as she's not feeling well. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee, we thank You, Lord, for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank You for giving us the privilege of meeting once more, dear Father God. May You please be with us today. Be with us, mind, body, and spirit. We ask that You put Your healing hands upon those that are sick and afflicted, dear Father. Those that are going through any type of maladies today, You know exactly who they are, where they are, and just what they need. And we ask, according to Your perfect will, that You heal them from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet, restoring them according to Your perfect will. Please be with us that are here listening, those that will be listening at a later time. Open up our eyes, our ears, and our understanding, dear Father God, that we may behold wondrous things out of Your words. We thank You and we love You, Heavenly Father. In all the name then Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen, dear sister. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Scripture Song Singer in the section God's Love. We are going to hear 1 John 3, verse 1, King James margin.
Thank you. John 3:1, behold what manner of love.
Amen. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear all of the answer to those questions that we have, we are going to review part 3 of our lesson in our study book, The Desire of Ages. I'd like to take the first paragraph, dear one. May you mute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 793. Continuing. Go your way, the angels had said to the women. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. These angels had been with Christ as guardian angels throughout his life on earth. Next slide, please. Continuing, they had witnessed his trial and crucifixion. They had heard his words to his disciples. This was shown by their message to the disciples and should have convinced them of its truth. Such words could have come only from the messengers of their risen Lord. Desire of Ages, page 793. Paragraph 1.
So, go ahead.
The Desire of Ages, page 793. Tell his disciples and Peter, the angel said, since the death of Christ, Peter had been bowed down with remorse. His shameful denial of the Lord and the Savior's look of love and anguish were ever before him. Of all the disciples, he had suffered most bitterly. To him, the assurances given that his repentance is accepted and his sin forgiven. He is mentioned by name. The Desire of Ages, page 793, paragraph 2.
Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall you see him. All the disciples had forsaken Jesus, and this call to meet him again includes them all. He has not cast them off. When Mary Magdalene told them she had seen the Lord, she repeated the call to the meeting in Galilee. Next slide, please. Continuing. And a third time, the message was sent to them. After he had ascended to the Father, Jesus appeared to other women, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go unto Galilee, and there shall they see me. Desire of Ages, page 793, paragraph 3.
Christ's first work on earth after his resurrection was to convince his disciples of his undiminished love and tender regard for them, to give them proof that he was their living Savior, that he had broken the fetters of the tomb and could no longer be held by the enemy's death. Next slide, please. Continuing, to reveal that he had the same heart of love as when he was with them as their beloved teacher. He appeared to them again and again. He would draw the bonds of love still closer around them. Go tell my brethren, he said, that they meet me in Galilee.
The Desire of Ages, page 794. As they heard this appointment so definitely given, the disciples began to think of Christ's words to them foretelling his resurrection. But even now they did not rejoice. They could not cast off their doubt and perplexity. Even when the women declared that they had seen the Lord, the disciples would not believe. They thought them under an illusion. Desire of Ages, page 791, paragraph.
trouble seemed crowding upon trouble. On the sixth day of the week, they had seen their master die. On the first day of the next week, they found themselves deprived of his body, and they were accused of having stolen it away for the sake of deceiving the people. Next slide, please. Okay, continuing. They despaired over correcting the false impression that were gaining ground against them. They feared the enmity of the priests and the wrath of the people. They longed for the presence of Jesus, who had helped them in every perplexity. Desire of Ages, page 794, paragraph 2.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. So what have we learned in ways we have grown? Let's consider our verse for the topic for the review answer, taken from 1 Peter 3:15. It's also scripture, so King James Version. O sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we are going to read out the questions that you'll have your worksheet ready to be able to share your answer. If you're not able to see the screen, dear ones, we are going to help along. The first one is, who is the main character or characters of this part 3? The second one is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And number 6, what do you learn from this lesson? Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
Number 1, who is the main characters? Here we see the Lord is risen from the tomb. We see the angels. We see also Mary Magdalene and another Mary and other women. And also the disciples are highlighted.
The resurrection number 2. Church, anybody? Everyone?
For question number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? It is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the telling of his resurrection abroad to his disciples and to have them to meet him so that they would be able to see his resurrection and have their faith strengthened.
Number 3, this story takes place at the tomb where Christ is resurrected. Number 4, when did the story begin? The story began at the crucifixion of Christ, and it's here now at his resurrection.
Number 5, for how could you relate to the story? I relate to the story in that I am given hope and joy in my heart that the Lord has risen from the dead and is resurrected, and also that he died for my sins to wash me and cleanse me and give me delivering power over it. And I relate to that story that he has truly done that in my heart, and he does that for everyone. And that's how I relate to that story.
One thing that I learned from this lesson is how merciful and loving is our God, in that when he, the first things that he did was to make sure that he gathered his brethren and to know and to let them know that their sins are forgiven, especially Peter. Yeah. And, to make them, know that their sins were forgiven, and to also let them exercise a little faith by sending the women to tell them and to see if they will believe. But overall, the mercy that he shows by coming to them and by gathering them and by letting them, giving them the assurance that their sins were forgiven.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, dear ones. I would like to also highlight something that will be benefit for us in this time. If you notice, they also have the angel messages talking to the disciple, reminding them of the promises. Also, we see that even though all of them were broken in heart with what was going on with the death of Christ, the Lord allowed them to see all through that disappointment that he has not changed. He was the same one that sat physical with them, and that love was even manifested in a greater magnitude, that as soon as he got out and he came back through the resurrection, he was seeking them. And those that may have the doubt in their heart because of whatever was happening in their personal life, the Lord secured them by manifesting himself in so many different ways to so many of them. And it's just showing how long-suffering he is and how he's so acquainted with each one of them. Mary, in the midst of her sorrow, looking to see what they did with the Savior's body. Here, the angels were there to give them the assurance on where to meet him. We have also three angels' messages, everyone. And even though that things may be able to be dark and uncertain, we still can be able to have the hope of the messages that has been given to us, that what we are going through and what it is that's happening, it is written. Isn't that a beautiful thing that the Lord had left? Not only the provision, but also work step by step with us. It shows the long suffering that he does have for all of us. And our dear sister say, I can relate. The Lord said we are to die dearly. In dying to self, we are allowing the light of Jesus to shine to others, which give them hope to know they are saved because Jesus died for us. Amen. Is there anybody else that would like to be able to share? Otherwise, we are going to continue, dear ones. We have thoughts and poems and also special music. Our thought is taken from a Spirit of Prophecy book entitled The Review on Herald, but this is dated December 22, 1892, entitled No Caste in Christ. We are going to be touching up our paragraph 1 through 5. And our opening scripture is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 25, King James, and it reads, Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute.
The highest angel in heaven had not the power to pay the ransom for one lost soul. Cherubim and seraphim have only the glory with which they are endowed by the Creator as his creatures. The reconciliation of man to God could be accomplished only through a mediator who was equal with God, possessed of attributes that would dignify and declare him worthy to treat with the infinite God in man's behalf, and also represent God to a fallen world. Man's substitute and surety must have man's nature, a connection with the human family whom he was to represent, and as God's ambassador, he must partake of the divine nature, have a connection with the infinite in order to manifest God to the world, and be a mediator between God and man. Review and Herald, December 22nd, 1891, paragraph 1.
These qualifications were found alone in Christ. Clothing his divinity with humanity, he came to earth to be called the Son of Man and the Son of God. He was the surety for man, the ambassador for God, the surety for man to satisfy by his righteousness in man's behalf the demands of the law, and the representative of God to make manifest his character to a fallen race. Review and Herald, December 22, 1891, paragraph 2.
The world's Redeemer possessed the power to draw men to himself, to quiet their fears, to dispel their gloom, to inspire them with hope and courage, to enable them to believe in the willingness of God to receive them through the merits of the divine substitute. As subjects of the love of God, we should be grateful that we have a mediator, an advocate, an intercessor in the heavenly courts who pleads in our behalf before the Father. Review and Herald, December 22, 1891, paragraph 3.
Continuing paragraph 4, we have everything we could ask to inspire us with faith and trust in God. In earthly courts, when a king would make his greatest pledge to assure man of his truth, he gives his child as a hostage to be redeemed of the fulfillment of his promise. And behold, what a pledge of the Father's faithfulness. For when he would assure men of the immutability of his counsel, he gave his only begotten Son to come to earth, to take the nature of man, not only for the brief years of life, but to retain his nature in the heavenly courts, an everlasting pledge of the faithfulness of God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and love of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. From the Review and Herald, December 22, 1889.
Through faith in Christ, we become members of the royal family, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are one. As we come in sight of Calvary and view the royal sufferer who in man's nature bore the curse of the law in his behalf, all national distinctions, all sectarian differences are obliterated. All honor of rank, all pride of caste is lost. The light shining from the throne of God upon the cross of Calvary forever puts an end to man-made separations between class and race. Men of every class become members of one family, children of the heavenly King, not through earthly power, but through the love of God who gave Jesus to a life of poverty, affliction, and humiliation, to a death of shame and agony, that he might bring many sons and daughters unto glory. Review and Herald, December 22, 1891, paragraph 5.
Reflection. Look and live. Hanging upon the cross, Christ was the gospel. Now we have a message. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. When our church members keep their eyes fixed on a crucified, risen Savior, of whom their hopes of eternal life are centered, this is our message, our argument, our doctrine, our warning to the impenitent, our encouragement for the sorrowing, the hope for every believer. we can awaken interest in men's minds that will cause them to fix their eyes on Christ. We may stay, step aside and ask them only to continue to fix their eyes upon the Lamb of God. Thus they receive their lesson. Whoso will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. He whose eyes are fixed on Jesus will evolve. He will die to selfishness. He will believe in all the word of God, which is so gloriously and wonderfully exalted in Christ. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that blessed hope. Our poem title is He First Loved Us. You will find it in Children Activity Book, Year 3, Quarter 4, Lesson 2, page 33 from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you.
Number one, come and obey the Savior's voice. Come now and make this happy choice. He will not turn your prayers aside while you in truth in Him confide.
He left the realms of shining day and down to earth hasted away. He bore grief and he bled, he died. For us the Lord was crucified.
O matchless loved, so great, so free, the love he bore for you and me. Shall not our hearts within us move, responsive to his tender love?
Oh yes, our hearts, though hard, must feel, touched by his melting love and zeal. Our ransom powers are all his own. We humbly bow before his throne.
Number five, O blessed Savior, make us thine. Our sins forgive, our thoughts refine. Make us reflect thine image here, and save us when thou shalt appear.
Then in thy kingdom all divine, we shall as stars forever shine, and share thy joy and sing thy praise, and this to everlasting days.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, dear Remnant family. And the special music was taken from the same section of the scripture song singer, but this one is patient. And it's taken from Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6, King James Version.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:4-6.
Dear ones, we are going to have the chance to be able to share a testimony, either in between the remission or even at the end of our services today. We have come to the ending of our part 3 of our lesson. So we will continue with part 4 of our lesson next Sabbath by God's grace, of our title, Why Weepest Thou, in our study Facebook, the Desire Agency. Who would like to have closing prayer, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
May we bow our heads on our knees. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to be this special Sabbath day, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to praise your holy name. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us today. We thank you for the participation of the little ones, and we pray for them, for the little ones that are not feeling well, Father Jesus. Please put a healing hand upon them, and also upon other brethren that are not feeling well today. Please put a healing hand upon them as well. Be with us as we go to the next section of the study. Continue to bless us. Continue to be with us. Bless the speaker, I pray. Put the words in her mouth and his mouth. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings today. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to continue with our part 4 of our chapter 82 and titled Why Weepest Thou? And that will be held November 23rd, 2024. And that will be our lesson 422. Leaving the scripture and also a quote from the Ministry of Healing, page 72, paragraph 2. Our quote is taken from Isaiah 49:15-16, King James, and it reads, "Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yeah, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graved thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me." And from a quote, it says, "Circumstances may separate friends. The restless water of the wide sea may roll between us and them. But no circumstances, no distance can separate us from the Savior. Wherever we may be, he is at our right hand to support, maintain, uphold, and share. Greater than the love of a mother for her child is Christ's love for his redeemed. It is our privilege to rest in his love, to say, I will trust him, for he gave his life for me." May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and we will see you in a few minutes.